Welcome to Falun Gong News Direct from China and around the world, from the Minghui website. This week's top stories include Canada, Falun Dafa participates in Hayak International Parade in New Westminster. Bulgaria, practitioners in the city of Varna commemorate World Falun Dafa Day. Korean technical elites, Falun Dafa enlightened my life. Bamboo as a symbol of the process of cultivation. Melbourne, Australia, bloody reenactment highlights organ harvesting atrocities in China. And new wave of lawsuits against Jiang Zemin, this time in China. Now for the stories.
Canada. Falun Dafa participates in Hayak International Parade in New Westminster. The annual Hayak Festival is New Westminster City's largest annual community event and attracts a broad regional audience. Falun Dafa practitioners from Vancouver were a hit with the spectators when they participated in the Hayak International Parade, the largest festival event on May 23rd. With numerous groups from Western Canada and the U.S. participating, this parade is the largest in British Columbia. The Falun Dafa entry comprised the Divine Land Marching Band, Celestial Maidens, a waist drum team, practitioners demonstrating Falun Dafa exercises, and a lotus flower float. Ms. Gerda Suss, board member and director of the Hayak Festival Association, applauded and waved to the Falun Dafa practitioners. "Look at them, they perform so well," she said. "I know Falun Dafa and really like their performances. They are so wonderful. They are so nicely dressed. So great. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. They work so hard to make it a success." Mr. Paj Bhuri, director of the parade, said, "They, Falun Gong, are incredibly turned out. Look at their beautiful uniforms. I think they are the spirit of the community." Watching and applauding the Dafa practitioners, Mr. Zhu had been in Vancouver for only 3 weeks. "You can't see a parade like this in China," he said. "All the Chinese media reports about Falun Dafa are negative. You can't see the truth in China. Today I see it with my own eyes that Falun Dafa is very welcome in Canada. Freedom of belief is respected here. That is really good. You only have to see to believe it." "I like the diversity of cultures in the parade," said Vicky, a resident of New Westminster, who has come out to watch the parade every year for more than a decade. "Every group represents a different culture. I like Falun Dafa very much because they perform so well and display a unique culture. I like their spirit the most. It's upbeat. I want to learn more about it." Bulgaria. Practitioners in the city of Varna commemorate World Falun Dafa Day. Falun Gong practitioners from Varna, the third largest city in Bulgaria, organized activities on May 16th and May 17th to commemorate World Falun Dafa Day, the anniversary of the practice's public introduction in China 23 years ago. The practitioners demonstrated the Falun Dafa exercises, handed out informational leaflets, and collected signatures on a petition condemning the Chinese Communist regime's killing of Falun Dafa practitioners to sell their organs for profit. The Bulgarian Falun Dafa Association, which organized the Falun Dafa Day activities for the third year in a row, invited the public to sign the petition. The activity was held at the entrance of Varna Marine Garden, a popular city park in Varna. In just a matter of a few hours, the practitioners were able to collect 200 signatures and distribute many leaflets. People expressed interest in learning more about the practice and the ongoing persecution of its followers in China. The screening of the documentary, Transcending Fear, marked the culmination of the activities in Varna. It is the story of Gao Zhizheng, a Chinese human rights attorney and dissident known for defending activists and religious minorities and documenting human rights abuses in China, especially those of Falun Gong practitioners. Because of his work, attorney Gao was disbarred and imprisoned by the Chinese government several times and severely tortured. Varna is an important population hub in Bulgaria, as it is the largest city and seaside resort on the Bulgarian Black Sea coast. It is the administrative center of the province and Varna municipality and the 10th largest city in the Balkans. It is the 4th largest city on the Black Sea.
Korean technical elites, Falandafa enlightened my life. Mr. Kai Tae-jeong, a native Korean, seems like your average 40-year-old man to the casual observer, friendly and in good health. However, looks can be deceiving. Mr. Kai is actually of retirement age, but the astute telecom tycoon doesn't let this be known to just anyone. On a pleasant summer day in mid-May, Mr. Jeong stood among 8,000 Falandafa practitioners in Manhattan, preparing for a parade to commemorate the 23rd anniversary of the spiritual practice's introduction to the public. Falandafa practitioners from over 50 countries gathered in New York City to participate in this celebration, including Mr. Jeong. They participated in many events on May 13th and 14th, including a cultivation experience-sharing conference, group exercise demonstrations, and a parade. VP of Korean Telecom, Falandafa enlightened my life. Mr. Jeong is the Vice President of Technical Development at KT Corporation, the largest telecom provider in South Korea. This made it slightly surprising when we were met with a gentle and mild-mannered man. He began speaking about his experiences as a Falandafa practitioner, a title he's proudly held for 14 years. He said that the meditative qualities of the practice during these years have helped foster his creative thinking, allowing him to stay one step ahead of the market. He said, "The corporate world craves innovation, and after practicing Falandafa, I was able to offer just that. The practice really helped me clear my mind and gave me insights and unique solutions into navigating the telecommunications market of South Korea. And it seems to be a tried-and-true method as well. Mr. Jeong's colleagues are all aware of how he makes spot-on judgments and are very supportive. When Mr. Jeong looks at his life before Falandafa, he almost feels as if a different person had lived it. He had a very busy schedule with the dual responsibilities of development work and client dinners. He said, I came home sober only one or two nights a week. As you can probably imagine, I was the bane of my wife's existence back then. My father was an alcoholic and died of liver cancer, so it's not like I didn't know how dangerous it was. But I just couldn't quit. Mr. Jeong's life took a turn for the better in late 2000 when a friend in Japan introduced him to a spiritual practice curiously named Falandafa. It was a totally new concept to me. I couldn't describe it, but I had a feeling that this was it. It was really something, and it was good," he said. "I became enthralled with this practice, and sure enough, I began seeing my life change for the better almost immediately. I used to drink half a liter of liquor and two bottles of beer a day. On top of that, I smoked about a pack a day. Those were my drugs, and back then, if you had asked me, I wouldn't have been able to imagine a day without them," he said. After Mr. Jeong practiced Falandafa for 1 month, he was immediately able to quit drinking and smoking. There was really no process, he said. The craving simply disappeared, as if he had never desired these things before. When he first refused alcohol at a dinner party, his clients thought he was joking and continued to offer him liquor. He had to seriously announce that he had started a cultivation practice and was completely abstaining from smoking and drinking. Seeing his tremendous changes, Mr. Jeong's wife, mother, younger brother, and sister all started practicing Falandafa. He also offers to teach the Falandafa exercises to his colleagues on a routine schedule. Senior researcher of National Institute of Science, Navigator of My Life. Mr. Young Kyung Hong is a senior researcher and department director of the National Institute for Mathematical Sciences in South Korea. To him, Falandafa is a most intricate and extraordinary study and the key to many of his lifelong puzzles. Mr. Hyun was able to discover through his beliefs new philosophical insights not only about his work, but about the universe at large. He says the biggest benefit of practicing Falandafa is it being the navigator of his life. Mr. Hyun learned Falandafa from an older professor in 2003 and decided to give it a try, and went to the United States for a postdoctoral program in 2005. However, Falandafa was not just a cerebral exercise for Mr. Hyun. It offered him guidance at a time in his life when things were directionless and chaotic. Mr. Hyun went to the United States for his postdoctoral studies in 2005, but when he returned home in 2012, an unprecedented challenge awaited him. His family had gotten into a tight spot emotionally and financially, and all their eyes were on him, the most educated and eldest son, to help them out. I knew that Falandafa could help solve their problems, so I tried to persuade them to learn the practice and ask them to behave like practitioners, said Mr. Hyun. In hindsight, that wasn't really the best idea. I didn't do this for their own good, I did it for my own, and forcing something, even if it's a good thing, upon other people is not being very compassionate. He discussed his troubles with fellow practitioners, who offered him a lot of help, and eventually led him to understand that a practitioner must treat his family with compassion and tolerance. They suggested that to find a solution, he look inward at what he might have done to cause these problems. Mr. Hyun soon noticed that when he improved his moral character and became kinder, his family became healthier. They also became more and more receptive to his efforts and to the cultivation practice. His father even volunteered to participate in a signature drive to help end the killing of imprisoned practitioners for their organs that is happening in China. Mr. Hyun's wife, Ms. Hin Jin Lee, also a PhD in mathematics, was an absolute perfectionist before practicing Falun Dafa. The spiritual exercise drastically changed her personality. After practicing Falun Dafa, I learned to look inward and realize the heavy hand I had was mostly caused by my own problems. I became less arrogant, less competitive, and less envious. And just like that, I became a more amicable and more relaxed person, she said. Falun Dafa taught me what compassion is and how to be considerate of others. You could even say it's the light of my life, said Ms. Lee. Bamboo as a symbol of the process of cultivation. I have watched a DVD of the Shenyun Performing Arts twice now, and I could not help but feel amazed by the beauty and majesty I saw displayed. I wished I had a magic paintbrush with which I could express my admiration of the divine culture that unfolded on the Shenyun stage. That night, I had a dream. In it, Master gave me a magic paintbrush. He encouraged me to use my talent and express the beauty and power of Dafa. My paintbrush was a Fa implement, a weapon with which I eliminate demons. At the same time, it helps me to enrich people's lives. Symbolizing elevation of cultivation level. My wish was to paint a stalk of bamboo, showing one joint above the other. In my understanding, a bamboo trunk symbolizes the elevation in cultivation levels. I heard the familiar music of Falun Dafa is good from afar when I awoke the next morning. I decided to walk towards the music. I saw a little girl, the daughter of a fellow practitioner, practicing the music on her bamboo flute at the riverbank. At the moment, the idea that I needed to pick up my magic paintbrush and paint this scene hit me. This then reminded me of the bamboo plant that had stood beside my house for 16 years. I see it every day. The bamboo has become a witness of my cultivation. A banner that says Truth, Compassion, Forbearance is attached to it. I picked up a paintbrush and began to paint my first painting at the age of 60. I also wrote a poem from the painting titled Step by Step. Straight, dignified, and unpolluted by the polluted world, they are determined to reach upwards, step by step. Quiet and humble, bamboo forests cover the mountain. A piece of bamboo, turned into a flute, sings Falun Dafa How.
Melbourne, Australia. Bloody reenactment highlights organ harvesting atrocities in China. Putting the Chinese regime's raw brutality on full display, a group of Australian Falun Gong practitioners held a public reenactment of a practitioner being killed and his organs harvested for profit. The demonstrators aimed to show the world what many of their counterparts in China face for refusing to give up their belief at the demands of the communist authorities. Meanwhile, a nearby booth showed a documentary covering the state-sanctioned organ harvesting atrocities taking place in China. The graphic display at City Square in Melbourne's business district drew the attention of passers-by. Within 3 hours, more than 1,500 people had signed petitions addressed to the United Nations Human Rights Council and the Australian government calling for an end to the Chinese regime's brutal persecution of Falun Gong. In addition, many registered for an upcoming seminar by David Mattis, an international human rights lawyer, on his findings about the organ harvesting crimes in China. Medical professionals. Organ harvest is systematic, backed up by Chinese government. Increasing numbers of witnesses and evidence have confirmed that organs were harvested from living practitioners in China during their detention, said Mr. Fan from the World Organization to Investigate the Persecution of Falun Gong, WOIPFG. He said 22 voice recordings from the investigations are available on the organization's website. Ms. Talu and Ms. Ann, who had been detained previously in China for practicing Falun Gong, told their experience of extensive blood tests during detention. All these are linked to the live organ harvesting, a topic we should continue to pursue and find out the personnel involved. Mr. Ruan Jay, chief editor of Tiananmen Times, said that the organ harvesting crimes are not isolated. When the suppression of Falun Gong first started, Jiang Zemin, then head of the Chinese Communist Party, claimed that no one needed to be responsible for torturing practitioners, even if they died. This top-down policy made the nationwide persecution reckless and far more damaging. If we do not step forward and do something to help practitioners, sooner or later we will soon become victims of this regime, Ruan added. He then gave an example of a recent incident in China in which a student was beaten to death by police and officials cremated his body before the student's family arrived. The Chinese Communist Party focuses on its attention on controlling and enslaving people, and it does not respect people's lives at all. If we do not stand up and protect ourselves, nobody will. Lisa Lau from Doctors Against Forced Organ Harvesting, DAFOH, listed many findings the organization had collected. In China, prisoners of conscience have become victims of a live organ harvest. And among them, Falun Gong is the single largest group facing this tragedy, she announced. As a medical expert working at Austin Health, a major health provider in Melbourne, Lau said, "Such a serious misconduct and human rights violation has sabotaged the medical industry in many ways. That is why many international organizations, from medical associations to the United Nations and the World Health Organization, have considered it unethical and unlawful." To make things worse, she explained, live organ harvesting in China is systematic and backed up by the Chinese government. David Kilgore and David Mattis, both from Canada, have conducted independent research. They have identified at least 17 places in China that supply organs from prisoners of conscience, primarily Falun Gong practitioners. She called on more people to pay close attention to this important matter. Tell your friends and neighbors about this. Inform your elected officials. Sign petitions. Go to related workshops or seminars and please support with whatever you can to stop this brutality. Moral values cannot be ignored because that is our future. Oscar San Juan and Irene Hernandez, a couple from Spain, were astonished to hear about the organ harvesting atrocities for the first time. No wonder Chinese communists want to block such information and details about organ donors. They wanted to hide the truth, said Hernandez. Hernandez also supports legislation in the United States and several other countries restricting entry to those involved in these crimes. San Juan said that more people should take action. The Chinese communist government is known for depriving human rights and freedom of speech. The persecution of Falun Gong practitioners is a crime against humanity. We should all act upon our conscience so this severe human rights violation can come to an end. Val Ha and Kathy Zhang, eighth grade students, said that such crimes should not have happened in the first place. Nobody would want such a tragedy to happen to their family, and he or she would do whatever possible to stop it. Now, how could this take place in China? Because the Chinese Communist government brainwashed people so they only care about themselves and money, nothing else. Ms. Wu, an immigrant from China, agreed with them. After the traditional values were damaged by the Communist Party in China, people became numb and paid little attention to the common good. Adding that this can be a real danger for society, she added, when medical doctors' noble careers are turned into slaughter, we need to rethink our parenting and school education. Moral values cannot be ignored because that is our future. As more people wake up, Ms. Wu added, the situation will change.
New wave of lawsuits against Jiang Zemin, this time in China. A number of Falun Gong practitioners have filed criminal complaints in China's highest court since the beginning of this month. These documents list the same defendant, Jiang Zemin, former head of the Chinese Communist Party, who imposed his personal will on state organs to launch the persecution of Falun Gong in July 1999. In China, where the first lawsuit against Jiang occurred in August 2000, a new wave of legal efforts to bring Jiang to justice has begun. Chinese law allows for citizens to be plaintiffs in criminal cases, and many Falun Gong practitioners are now exercising their legal right to file criminal complaints against Jiang. Jiang's crimes against humanity. Jiang Zemin single-handedly started the persecution of Falun Gong in 1999. Despite the disagreement of other Politburo Standing Committee members, he took advantage of his position as head of the Chinese Communist Party and imposed his personal will to launch the persecution. The brutal suppression has resulted in the deaths of thousands of Falun Gong practitioners over the past 16 years. Many more have been tortured, and it is believed that tens of thousands have been killed for their organs. Jiang Zemin and his followers are directly responsible for the inception and continuation of the persecution. Under his personal direction, the Chinese Communist Party established a party-based security agency, the 610 Office, on June 10, 1999. This is an extra-legal organization that overrides the law to execute Jiang's directives regarding Falun Gong, ruin their reputations, cut off their financial resources, and eliminate them physically. Jiang also ordered the killing of Falun Gong practitioners of conscience for their organs, a crime in which the military has a major role through its access to the forced labor camp and prison systems. Falun Gong practitioners have sued Jiang for genocide, torture, and crimes against humanity in 30 countries and areas, including Switzerland, Australia, Belgium, Spain, Taiwan, Hong Kong, Germany, and Canada. The lawsuits became the largest international human rights lawsuits of the 21st century. Lawyers for the plaintiffs have argued that Jiang launched the persecution outside the scope of his responsibilities as head of state, and therefore should not have diplomatic immunity. In its registration system reform options, the Supreme People's Court in China claims that it is going to change the filing review system to filing registration system and guarantee registration and processing of all complaints. This new policy was to be in effect as of May 1, 2015. It remains to be seen whether the judicial system in China will put its policy into action. Thank you for listening to the Minghui Radio Podcast. For more information, including news about the persecution of Falun Gong practitioners in China and experience sharing stories by practitioners around the world, please visit our website at en.minghui.org.